Hey everybody, you're listening to Top Quartile, where we bring you stories from the front lines of growth in community-focused financial services. Hello and welcome. I'm Dan Marks, partner and EVP at Enfusion. My guest today is James Schenck, president and CEO of PenFed Credit Union and CEO of the PenFed Foundation. James, how are you?
Hey Dan, great to be here. I'm doing well.
Awesome. Before we get started, tell our listeners a little bit about your role at PenFed.
I have a very simple role. As the president and CEO, my job is to find individuals, the best and the brightest, that can get hired anywhere at any time by 10 other firms. I always say, if I can't surround myself with the best that can't work anywhere, I probably have the wrong people on my team. So that's my role, is building high-performing teams of financial leaders that can drive our business forward and helping our members do better.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe the role and the service you provide the organization. So what's maybe one fascinating thing that most people don't know about you?
I like to tell everybody I used to be 6'4", but I've been an aviator since I was 15 years old, and it's made me a little bit shorter vertically height-wise, but I've been flying since I was 15. I flew a little Piper Tomahawk. I got licensed when I was at West Point as a private pilot. I've been flying ever since for the last 30 plus years. I still fly a little Cirrus a few times a week to get from point A to point B in my personal life. I love aviation. I love the sky. And I had the honor to serve in uniform flying Black Hawk helicopters for over a decade, many years ago.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your service. We really appreciate it on behalf of all Americans. Okay, let's jump in learning more about what we're talking about today. PenFed plays a unique role, for anybody who doesn't know, in serving the military community in our country. And I'm thinking specifically about the PenFed Foundation for Military Heroes. Tell us about some of the recent growth the organization has experienced and what's that role that community and the mission and values have played in that growth.
I appreciate it. PenFed's been very focused on serving the men and women who serve our nation and also those who support them. And as a result, last year we grew nearly 400,000 new members, which was a record for PenFed, even as a result of the COVID situation in America. On our loan side, we originated over $16.6 billion worth of lending, and that was up 67% over 2019. So even in a very tough economic year and a year with increased medical situations across America, we've been able to grow 67%. Now, the mortgage division originated close to $8.2 billion worth of loans. That was up 300% over 2019. And our consumer division originated $8.4 billion. That was up 16% over 2019. And it really came down to a cultural philosophy that I really took from the military. And it was called risk mitigation versus risk avoidance. In every economic environment, there's enough Americans that need our help. They need to reach their financial goals, borrow money for a car, take a student loan out to go to college, even if it was remotely or somewhere going in person. The demand was there, and a lot of other firms stepped back. And we decided from day one, we were not going to do that. We're going to be hammered down. We're going to take perfect care of our employees from a health and safety perspective, but we were going to accomplish the mission and we're going to use the year to continue to build the better. So that's a little bit of our results last year.
Yeah, you talk about the mission and values, the risk mitigation. I love that. Your service. What are some of those values undergird and gave you that framework for that performance?
We have a philosophy at PenFed, kindness and respect to one another. We're an organization that's lived since 1935, providing service to others. We like to pride ourselves on innovation and integrity and really working collaboratively across teams. So even though we had built an infrastructure that was able to work remotely, so we had built a model over the last decade, even before COVID, in which 95% of our businesses would be delivered to our customers, in our case, members, remotely. So we do about 80% of all PenFed business through the web or a mobile phone. We do 15% through phone calls, and only 5% of our total business, when I talk about that $16 billion worth of lending, only 5% of that is done through branches. So we really are an online firm that serves our members real time around the world with those cultural values of being kind, respectful, but always being there to serve. We don't let excuses get in the way of us delivering value to our members. We don't let the external environment change. There's always going to be enough market share on market mortgages, car lending, student lending. Even as a $27 billion firm, we're very small. So there's always market share to be had if you stay hungry and never get complacent.
Yeah, and man, that's an awesome, so you kind of empower and equip your team to be successful wherever they are. So do you have team members all over the world?
All over the country. We do have branches in Okinawa and Guam, and we have a few hundred thousand members in Puerto Rico. But our four major regional centers are in D.C. Metro, Omaha, Nebraska, San Antonio, Texas, and Eugene, Oregon. And each one of those locations have about 300 to 500 employees, financial professionals.
Awesome. And I guess, is there a military kind of skew to people who work at PenFed?
Not really. We have about, I would say, 300 employees out of 3,000. So 10% of our workforce are veterans or a military spouse. And we continue to grow that every year. We realize that hiring veterans and hiring military spouses, they're very resilient. They truly understand accomplishing the mission and not letting obstacles get in the way. So we've been very fortunate since I've been CEO for the last 7 years to go from about 25 former military to over 300.
Awesome. And so let's talk more about pay and those kind of things that have really been heating up amid all the news cycle. But PenFed's actually been leading by example for quite a while. Can you talk about just your philosophy around employee pay and what drives that philosophy?
Absolutely. I believe in paying well. I believe you get what you pay for. It's the value you get for the dollar you pay. So recently we made the decision to pay everybody above $15 an hour, even entry-level employees. Where that really skewed was in Puerto Rico. Some of them were making $12.50 to say $13.50 an hour, bringing them all over $15 to $16 an hour, allowed us to really choose the best and the brightest. When you're paying a market or above market rates, you get choices. You get to pick the best and the brightest. More people come in the door. But what the real byproduct that we found by increasing the minimum wage for entry level was retention. Retention dropped significantly at that line level. A lot of firms will see 25 to 30% attrition at the line because they're living paycheck to paycheck. Once you start paying well and paying a living wage, people want to stay with you because they're making more than they'll make at that store up the street or going into a different career. And then what they realize, if they stay, then they get promoted. And now minimum wage is a thing of the past. They have real career salaries and real professional upside growth and opportunity and the ability to learn, whether it's in mortgages and operations and finance. There's so many jobs. I think about a financial institution, it's truly a city within a city, from facilities to marketing to everything in between. So if you pay well at the entry level, you can really create careers for people.
Oh, yeah, true. And so you already touched on a little bit, but what are some of the impacts? You talked about retention. Are there other impacts on just your overall performance and, you know, kind of the industry leading performance you talked about?
When you pay well at every level, whether it's an executive or entry level, you have loyalty and people aren't measuring by the clock. They put that extra effort in. If they know you care about them and you're giving them 110% in pay, benefits, and bonus, they're going to give you 120%. We always hire people, we like to say, they give more than they ever take, but we never take advantage of that trust and loyalty. We pay very well to say thank you for taking perfect care of our membership.
So well put. So when you think about the people who are listening to this podcast, we try to be a little entertaining, maybe funny every once in a while, but then give real actionable insight. So as you think about the industry out there, the other leaders in financial services or even U.S. companies, what would be your advice to them based on your performance and leadership philosophy?
Hire people with passion and purpose. If you just say, if you think about it, there's 5,200 credit unions, there's over 5,000 banks. At the rudimentary level, what do we all do? All 10,000 of us, we buy and sell money. We take deposits from some and we make loans to others. So if I try to recruit the best and the brightest and say, come work for me, I buy and sell money every day. That's not very exciting. And you go home at night and you say, what'd you do? Oh, I bought and sold money today. That doesn't motivate, inspire, or retain. What you need to do is create a mission, what you stand for. So PenFed, we stand for supporting our nation's defenders around the world, those that go into harm's way to protect our freedoms, and all Americans who support our military and our Department of Homeland Security and all the sub-agencies that keep America safe. At the same time, we have a mission to help our members do better financially. That might be making a car loan when they need it, helping them buy a house when they need it, or providing them a place of thrift to pay them a high rate of interest on their deposits. But CEOs and at every level, a line manager needs to inspire their employees by what they're doing bigger than themselves. So when they come to work, they feel good. that they got that person from Afghanistan a car loan so their wife has a minivan or the husband has a minivan now to go to and from their employer or to or from the kids' sporting event. You make them feel rewarding that they're doing something more than just coming to work, buying and selling money. And then you reinforce that. We do force multiplier awards. We do living our value awards. We're constantly recognizing those for doing something above themselves to help somebody else do better. And same thing, as a CEO and as a leader, my board, we have four constituencies. We have to take perfect care of the member. That's why we exist. We have to take perfect care of our employees. We have to keep the institution safe and sound. If we just did those three things, we'd be a pretty good firm. But we take great pride in giving back to the community. Last year, even with COVID, we honored every one of our commitments. We gave away over $3 million to 74 organizations and making a difference in the communities in which we serve by giving back. And we let the employees select the communities and the groups that we give to, and it becomes self-fulfilling. They feel really part of helping others do better and helping their communities do better. And that gives 110% when they come to work, and it retains them. And we're very proud of that track record.
And so, maybe make it a little personal. If you could go back in time here at the end and sit down and talk to your younger self, that young serviceman flying Black Hawk helicopters, what advice would you give on how to prepare for his future to him?
To be a better listener than you are a talker. So I really learned in the last 20 years at PenFed, if I'm in a meeting and others do most of the talking and I do most of the listening, they think it was a great meeting. If I find myself doing most of the talking, I think it was a great meeting and they think it was terrible. So all leaders have to listen more than they speak. I try to teach that to my 23-year-old son, who's an investment banker, and everybody around me. Become a really good listener. Always be learning. And as I tell my executive team, if we think we have all the answers in the four walls that surround us, we are going to fail miserably. We rely on good partners, always looking, learning, and thinking about the future, as opposed to thinking we have all the answers in-house ourselves. Once you get complacent, once you get cocky, once you think you know more than others, you are going to fail miserably. So we try to be really good listeners, always learning, and always willing to drive the organization forward. And I use the term hammer down. So what I would tell my young self as an aviator, everything you do in life, whether it's personal or professional towards your goals, hammer down, live life to the fullest, and go all in for it.
James, thanks so much for coming on the show and giving us your insight. Some awesome things happening at PenFed, and thanks for the advice to our younger listeners can apply to, for themselves and to do better. So we really appreciate it.
Dan, I love your program. Thanks for having me.
That's it for today on Top Quartile. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Top Quartile wherever you find podcasts on any podcast app. And while you're at it, we'd really appreciate a 5-star rating. And if you're interested in getting an opportunity assessment, head over to infusionmarketinggroup.com to learn more. Thanks for listening.